All right, get this. Imagine a situation where you owe someone like a bunch of money, but instead of paying them back in gold or silver, like you agreed, you offer them, get this, paper money. Sounds crazy, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, that's exactly what happened after the Civil War because of this controversial law, the Legal Tender Act of 1862.
Interesting.
So today we're going deep into a Supreme Court case, Hepburn v. Griswold, that really shook things up. It challenged contract law and the very idea of money itself.
Wow, that's a big one. I'm excited to dive in.
Yeah, me too. So imagine the chaos after the Civil War. The Union needed to pay its army and like fix the economy.
Right, makes sense.
So they did something totally new.
Oh.
They issued paper money, greenback,
Greenbacks, okay.
and said it was legal tender for all debts, public and private.
I see, so that means.
Yeah, so it went against existing contracts. It said you had to pay in gold or silver.
Wow, that's a huge change. I can see why that would cause problems.
Exactly. This wasn't just some abstract legal debate, though. It's a
Oh.
real story with real people. In 1860, Mrs. Hepburn borrowed a lot of money from Mr. Griswold,
Okay.
promising to repay him in, you guessed it, gold or silver.
Standard practice back then.
Totally. Fast forward to 1864, Legal Tender Act is in full swing. Mrs. Hepburn tries to repay her debt with these new greenbacks.
Oh, I bet he wasn't happy.
Nope. Mr. Griswold, big believer in contracts,
Of
refused. He
course.
wanted his gold.
Wow. So this simple disagreement ended up in the Supreme Court.
You got it. It became this huge case about whether Congress could force people to accept paper money for debts that existed before the Legal Tender Act.
Oh, that's a tricky one. So they're basically asking if the government can just change the rules of a contract after it's already signed.
That's exactly it. And it gets even more interesting when you look at the
Just
Constitution.
though, how so?
Well, it gives Congress the power to coin money.
Right, the coinage clause.
But it doesn't actually say anything about paper money.
That's a good point. I guess the founding fathers didn't really think about paper money, huh?
Right. So the court had to figure out how to interpret the Constitution in light of this whole new paper money system.
So what happened? How did they rule?
Well, hold on tight because this is where the legal drama really heats up.
Okay, I'm ready.
The majority of the court focused on the Contracts Clause of the Constitution.
The contracts clause.
Yeah, it basically says that the government can't mess with existing contracts. They argued that it applied to the federal government too, not just states.
Ah, I see. So they were saying the government can't just change the rules of the game whenever they feel like it.
Exactly. They saw the Legal Tender Act as a big no-no because it was basically rewriting Mrs. Hepburn's contract with Mr. Griswold.
That makes sense. They were trying to protect individual rights and the whole idea of contracts being sacred.
Precisely. And they also brought up the Fifth Amendment, saying that forcing people to accept, potentially less valuable paper money was like taking someone's property without due process.
Ah, because Mr. Griswold was promised gold, which was worth more.
Exactly. So they argued the government was basically taking away his rightful property without fair compensation.
Wow, I'm seeing how this case went way beyond just a simple debt. It really got to the core of government power and individual rights.
Absolutely. It raised fundamental questions about the limits of government authority and the basic rights of citizens.
So what happened? Did the court side with Mr. Griswold and uphold the sanctity of the original contract?
Well, the decision was a close one, and it might surprise you.
Okay, I'm on the edge of my seat. What was the verdict? In a 4-3 vote, they actually struck down the Legal Tender Act.
Wait, really?
Well, at least for debts that started before the act.
So they sided with Griswold.
That's right.
So Mrs. Hepburn had to pay him in gold like they originally agreed.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a pretty bold move by the court.
It was, and Chief Justice Salmon P. Chase, who wrote the majority opinion, basically said even during a war, the government can't just ignore individual rights and the sanctity of contracts.
It's interesting, though, because Chase was actually the Secretary of the Treasury during the Civil War.
Right.
He's the one who pushed for the greenbacks in the first place.
Yeah.
So he's for greenbacks, but then as Chief Justice strikes down the law, that made them legal tender.
Yeah, it seems like a contradiction, right?
Totally.
But it shows how complicated this whole thing was.
Yeah.
Chase and the majority believed the Legal Tender Act was maybe necessary during the war,
Okay.
but ultimately went too far when applied to debts that already existed.
So they drew a line in the sand.
They did, but this legal roller coaster isn't over yet.
Oh, there's more. What happened next?
Well, did the government just get rid of greenbacks and go back to gold and silver?
I mean, it seems like that's the next step.
Not quite. Remember that 4-3 vote?
Yeah.
Justice Stephen Johnson Field wrote a dissenting opinion arguing that the government had to do whatever it took to survive the Civil War.
Okay.
He said the Legal Tender Act was a crucial tool for that.
So he's saying the ends justify the means.
Basically. And he's kind of accused the majority of being too stuck on the Constitution,
right,
and not seeing the practical side of things.
So we've got a divided court, a nation in chaos, and this huge debate about what money even is.
We do. Where do we go from here?
That's the question.
Well, Hepburn v. Griswold set a precedent,
mm-hmm,
but it didn't last long. Are you ready for another twist?
Hit me.
Just a year later, in 1871, the Supreme Court totally reversed course in a related case, Knox v. Lee.
What?
They upheld the Legal Tender Act and made greenbacks officially legal tender.
Hold on. They just changed their minds. A complete 180.
Pretty much.
What happened in that 1 year?
Well, the court's makeup changed. Two new justices were appointed.
Ah, so the dissenters became the majority.
Exactly. They argued that the Legal Tender Act, while a big use of government power, was still within Congress's authority to regulate the economy.
So basically they acknowledged that the country was moving to paper money.
Right, and the court adapted to that new reality.
Wow, so greenbacks became the law of the land.
Yes.
It makes you wonder how people back then felt about this whole back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Was it just a legal technicality, or did it, like, shake their understanding of what money was?
It definitely caused some confusion and uncertainty because people were used to thinking of money as something tangible, like gold or silver.
Something you can hold.
Exactly. And then suddenly the government is saying, no, this piece of paper we printed is just as good.
A big shift.
It was. It raised questions about trust authority, the whole economic system.
Wow.
This flip-flop by the court really shows how divided the country was and the court itself.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't just about paper money. It was about the balance of power between the government and the people.
Right.
And how to interpret the Constitution during a crisis.
So we have a divided court, a flip decision, and a nation trying to figure out this new currency.
Exactly.
It's amazing how this one case reflects so much bigger change happening.
It does, but where do we go from here?
Yeah, what's the lasting impact of Hepburn v. Griswold?
It seems like a footnote because it was overturned so quickly.
Right.
Well, not really. It might not be as famous as some other Supreme Court cases.
Okay.
But Hepburn v. Griswold still matters today. It reminds us that even in emergencies, there needs to be a balance between individual rights and government power.
Yeah, it's something to think about. If the government can change contracts and redefine money during a crisis,
right,
where does it stop? Where do we draw the line?
That's the core issue. Hepburn v. Griswold makes us ask some tough questions that are still relevant today.
Like what?
Well, how much power should the government have to interfere in the economy, especially during emergencies?
Okay.
Can the government rewrite contracts when they think it's for the greater good?
Interesting.
And how do we interpret the Constitution in a world that's so different from what the Founding Fathers imagined?
Those are big questions.
They are, and they don't have easy answers.
It seems like this case, even though it was overturned, still has a lot to teach us about individual liberty, government authority, and the concept of money.
It's a historical precedent that keeps sparking debate and makes us question our assumptions about the legal and economic foundations of our society.
So how does a case from the 1860s about paper money relate to us in the 21st century?
Good question. It might seem like ancient history compared to our world of digital transactions and cryptocurrency.
Right. Totally different.
You might be surprised Hepburn v. Griswold might be from a different time, but the questions it raises are relevant today.
Oh, really? How so?
Think about the government's response to the 2008 financial crisis, for example.
Yeah.
There were huge bailouts, massive interventions in the market, and debates about government power.
Right. It was a crazy time.
It was, and it echoes the debates about the Legal Tender Act.
I see what you're saying. Were those interventions justified?
Right.
Did they go too far? Did they infringe on individual rights?
Exactly. And we see similar things with the government's response to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Economic relief packages, restrictions on businesses, mandates on behavior. All those things raised questions about individual liberty and collective well-being.
Just like Hepburn v. Griswold did back in the 1860s.
Exactly.
Wow. So this case about paper money has a really long reach.
It does. It's not just about legal details.
Uh-huh.
It's about the basic principles of our society and how they're tested during crises.
This is a good point. So we've got a divided court, a flipped decision, and a nation figuring out a new kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating how this one case reflects so much change.
It is. And Hepburn v. Griswold reminds us that even in emergencies, we need to balance individual rights with government power.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance.
It is. And it also forces us to ask how much power the government should have in the economy.
Especially during a crisis.
Right. And whether they can change contracts when they think it's necessary.
Interesting.
And how we interpret the Constitution in a world so different from what the Founding Fathers knew.
It's a lot to think about.
It is, but those are the questions Hepburn v. Griswold makes us confront.
So we've gone back in time and looked at Hepburn v. Griswold.
Yeah.
We have a case about money contracts and power during a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
It might seem like an old legal case, but what we found is
that
the issues are still relevant today.
They are. What's interesting about Hepburn v. Griswold is it wasn't just a legal fight. It reflected a society going through huge economic and social change.
Right. The Civil War changed everything.
Exactly.
And paper money was a completely new way of thinking about value and exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, their whole world got flipped upside down.
Yeah.
Gold and silver were the standard. And then suddenly, it's these pieces of paper with the government's promise.
Exactly.
That must have been unsettling for a lot of people.
It definitely was. It challenged their beliefs about wealth and the government's role.
Yeah.
And even the legal system has struggled to adapt.
The Supreme Court even reversed itself.
Within a year.
Crazy makes you think what's happening now that we'll look back on in 100 years and be like, what were they thinking?
That's a great question. What about the rise of cryptocurrency and blockchain? It's a digital system outside traditional finance.
Right.
Almost like going back to money as a commodity, like gold.
Okay.
But digital.
It's wild how technology is changing what money and value even mean.
It is. Do you think we'll see legal challenges to cryptocurrency?
Mm-hmm.
Like what happened to greenbacks in the 1860s?
Could happen. We're already seeing governments trying to figure out how to regulate it.
Right. There are questions about stability, security, illegal activities.
It wouldn't be surprising to see lawsuits as it becomes more common.
And its impact on traditional finance becomes clearer.
It's interesting how Hepburn v. Griswold from the Civil War era could give us insights into today's challenges with things like cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the more things change, the more they stay the same.
You got it. We're still dealing with the same basic questions.
About power, the role of government, the nature of value.
Exactly. Hepburn v. Griswold shows us that the legal and economic landscape is always changing.
Mm.
We need to be adaptable, think critically, and be willing to question our assumptions.
As we navigate this complex world.
Right. So for everyone listening.
Yeah. What's the main takeaway from Hepburn v. Griswold?
The most important lesson is this. The law is not static. It's alive. It changes with the times.
It reflects the values and challenges of each era.
Exactly. And as citizens, it's our job to be part of the conversation.
To ask questions.
To make sure the legal system is fair and just.
Well said. So everyone, keep those legal minds sharp.
Stay curious.
And don't be afraid to challenge things. Who knows?
Right.
Maybe you'll be part of the next Hepburn v. Griswold.
Hopefully with less back and forth from the court.
Ah, that's for sure. And maybe this deep dive gave you some new ideas to think about.
As you deal with our legal and economic world.
And that wraps up our deep dive into the fascinating and surprisingly relevant case of Hepburn v. Griswold.
It was a good one.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those legal minds engaged.